Jan or Welsh flowers surrounded by English pricks. Everybody, give it a big hand for Jan. Astonish.
Oh, you fucking crack me up, Mark. What's he like, eh? I do love some of you English pricks, though, if any of you are here. And that, yeah, thanks, Mark, for that introduction. My name's Jan. I'm an alcoholic, like you all probably already know. I think I know all of you. And I feel so fucking nervous this morning, right? And it's so pathetic because when I got on you and I saw all your faces, do you know what I mean? You're like friends, do you know what I mean? It's like thinking, for fuck's sake, get your act together. And yeah, I was up really late last night, so I'm probably going to talk a load of shit and then cancel the recording. But anyway, give it a go, right? So bear with me. And please don't tell me I could talk as long as I like. It's one thing Welsh people are good at, two things, drinking and fucking talking. So yeah, I could talk forever, but I'll try not to talk for too long. Okay, so I just feel overwhelmed with fucking gratitude and love for you lot today and come fucking mixed up with anxiety. It's not a good combination. So yeah, so what do they say? Talk about how it was and how it is or something. I can't think this morning. So yeah, so I don't know, those of you that might have been here when I did find Tesno would probably I didn't like this, you know, it's not my first go at this, and I didn't come back with any gratitude or anything really. And I was just desperate. Do you know what I mean? I was fucking desperate. And so where do you go when you're desperate to stop drinking? The only place you can go is AA, innit? Or treatment. Do you know what I mean? And that wasn't an option. And even in treatment, that's what they, you know, they send you off to AA after. So yeah, I did want to come back, you know. Fucking the last thing I wanted to do was come back to fucking AA. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, for weeks, I was like, oh, when I was thinking about it, I don't want to go back with those fucking people. And like, I just had my attitude was like, but like I said, I was desperate. And luckily, an activist friend that I know, we started talking back in the summer before I came back this time. And he mentioned, and I've known him for like over 10 years, that he was in AA and he was in recovery. And that gave me the opening to start talking to someone about where, you know, where I was at with my drinking, because it just got so bad again. And and it's, you know, it was like, so little snippets here and there, and I started kind of opening up to him and then telling him that I used to go. And like, all this time, you know, I was talking to him like I thought he didn't know I was drunk all the time, you know. And and then he started telling me about online meetings, and so then I thought, oh, well, I could do that, do you know what I mean? And and so I found the online meetings, and like, oh, fucking hell, what a blessing they are, aren't they? And you know, because like, my drinking in the beginning when I was young was like, it was totally different, right? It was all fucking party, party, party. And like, you know, just madness. It was all just pure madness. Do you know what I mean? And like, I started drinking really young. You know, I was 11 when I first started drinking and smoking cigarettes. And just like, I just found this stuff that was like, made it possible for me to live. Do you know what I mean? It made it possible for me to like, you know, with like be with my peers and like go and do all that stuff you do, like going to school dances and all that, and have sex and all everything. It's just, it made it possible for me to do everything that like what normal people just fucking do. And it gave me confidence and like, and like my whole youth, you know, I never bought records or makeup or clothes or anything. Every fucking penny I got went on alcohol. And And like, for example, when I was 12, I got rat arse drunk on a Saturday afternoon, right? And like, I ended up like nearly dying, shitting myself, unconscious, and to be taken home by nurses, and my parents had to sit up with me all night washing me because I was like vomiting and shitting my, do you know what I mean? And like, and then going to school on the Monday morning with everybody knowing that and the embarrassment and the shame and everything. But what did I do? As soon as I was out again, I just carried on drinking. I mean, I just, when I think about it now, it's just fucking madness, you know? And yeah, like I think I've said before, alcohol was my friend. Do you know what I mean? It was everything. It was my lover, my friend. It was just everything. And I just couldn't imagine life without it. And then when I got to like age, and like the situations, the dangerous, I ended up in prison, all sorts, and it was all because of alcohol, really. And and like dismissing my own values and like getting involved in stuff that was, I was just like a ping pong ball, just going about inside like a vacuum, there. I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Do you know what I mean? And but then all of a sudden, I don't know, like, and I had a massive tolerance as well, right? So, like, I kind of, I just felt so like shit about myself. I never had any self-worth. And but this thing, this drinking, I could do it like really fucking well. Do you know what I mean? I was really good at it. And I was really proud of that. But then when I got to 27, like, and I had a massive tolerance. I could drink fucking like 6 foot men under the table when I was like 13. Do you know what I mean? And that, and all of a sudden, my tolerance just dropped. And it's like, and it just stopped working. And like all the angst and all the like shame and the repulsiveness I felt about myself and the fear of the world and everything, it just stopped working. And it's like, and all, and I just was like engulfed with all that. And then, and like, I don't know where I got the fucking idea from. I really don't know, right? And then I phoned AA when I was drunk. I don't remember doing it. And then somebody phoned me back the next day and arranged, and then I was still drinking that day. And then I don't know if they do it, still do it now because of online meetings and stuff. And she like came to my house then on the Sunday and took me to a meeting. And like, I got a vague memory of her coming to the door and thinking, oh my God, it's like, I don't like, I don't know why I went with her, really. It was just like, oh, just so surreal. Do you know what I mean? And I don't even remember my first meeting. And I've talked before thinking of what was my first meeting, but it wasn't. That was my second meeting. I don't remember being in the first meeting. And, and like, I've thought about it over the months this last year. At one point, I was like, I was slagging off AA and traditional AA and everything. Oh, they're all a bunch of twats. And this and everything, but actually I feel really, really grateful that traditional AA was there, because at that time, if I hadn't have found them, then I probably would never have got sober. And then each time I've relapsed, during my times in traditional AA, and I've come back, and like I've come back this time, sorry, this is all a bit mixed up, it's like stuff has stayed in my head from those meetings. Do you know what I mean? And it's like when I came back this time, like, fucking hell, I just couldn't think at all. I just couldn't think. But I knew in my head, right, if you don't pick up the first drink, you won't get drunk. And like, and in that period of 13 and a half years I had sobriety when I was bringing my daughter up, that's what I had in my head from those meetings as well. I was in therapy at the time as well, though. But like, if you don't pick up the first drink, you won't get drunk. And it's like a mantra. Do you know what I mean? And never mind the fucking steps and all that, and all the, the in, the deep stuff about why am I an alcoholic and all that business. It's like that's what stuck in my head, and like even this time. And so yeah, I actually really do, you know, feel good, because like if we didn't have like the shoulders of traditional AA to stand on, then we wouldn't have got you, would we, to these meetings of being able to come and share and get sober together without all that God stuff, you know. So yeah, I do like feel grateful for, I don't know if I'm making any sense, sorry, for that. And yeah, so what else was I thinking? Yeah, so that's when I was 27, right? And then I went to the meet, you know, I was in like, I think I was in shock for like first 2 years. I was just in shock. But it was the 90s then, and I really like, you know, it's all about productivity, and like you've got to, like, do you know what I mean? In the 90s, I don't know if any of you remember. And so, you know, I ended up like trying to become this normal citizen and like going to like college, did an access course, going to university and all that. And I forgot what the basis of all that was, which wasn't drinking. Do you know what I mean? And going to meetings, and I stopped going to meetings, and of course, inevitably, I relapsed. And you know, and I chose to go and live in Greece for a year, and like lived with a Greek fisherman, and then decided to get pregnant. And yeah, it wasn't the best decision to make when you're in a relapse. Do you know what I mean? And but then I got my daughter, and then when I came back into AA, and I'm so ashamed to say, right, honestly, I drank when I was pregnant, and I didn't get sober until she was 2 and a half. I did manage not to drink when I was breastfeeding, and I came back when she was 2 and a half, and it was the same then, because I was feeling all the same stuff that I've just felt, you know, now when I came back this time. And it's like, where else can you go? That's where you go. You go to AA. Do you know what I mean? And I did all, you know, I did all the steps and all the God stuff. And I think I really like got dragged into that God stuff then. I just wanted to be like the good girl, like doing everything right, and like, you know, but also, you know, my daughter is really important to me, right? My daughter is my world. And I know I moan about her a lot on here and everything, but she's just my world. And it's like I really didn't want to be a drunk mother. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to bring her up properly, and because I was on my own with her. And I used to think, I remember when I'm thinking back, I used to think that she was my gift from God to keep me sober. Do you know what I mean? Because they used to say you can't get sober for someone else, you can only get sober for yourself. But I wasn't, I was getting sober for her because it was so important to me. Do you know what I mean? And so then I managed to stay sober till she was 5 and a half, and then she went to stay with my mum for a week. It was the first time we were apart since she'd been born. And what did I do? As soon as she was gone, I came home, bought a bottle of wine, and then, you know, that thing that we've got in our head, oh, because you know it's really, really hard being a single parent, and I fucking salute anyone that's doing it, man, because you're doing the job of two people 24/7 forever, and it's really fucking hard because they're still your kids when they're adults. Do you know what I mean? And I was exhausted, and it's like that thing of alcohol becoming my friend again in my head. No, it's like straight home when I'm feeling so exhausted and relieved and guilty, because I was feeling so relieved that she'd gone. Because I find intimacy really hard, and my relationship with my daughter is the only relationship that I've kept, you know, that I haven't run away from all my life. And I really find intimacy really difficult. And yeah, and then I think in my head, alcohol became my friend again, and that's what I turned to. Oh, and yeah, and like I was saying, you know, I've learned from you, like I've got to say the I thing, not we. And so, like that thing that I told myself, oh, I can just have this drink when she's away, and then I'll stop again. But I couldn't. Do you know what I mean? And then I didn't stop again until she was 8 and a half, and I had a lot, you know, still got a lot of shame about that as well. And then when she was 8 and a half, I really didn't want to go back to AA, right? It was really difficult to get to meetings because of working and picking her up from school. I didn't want her to go to after school club. I wanted to take her to school in the morning and I wanted to pick her up at the end of the day. And so when I was in therapy and I stopped drinking, I had three friends who were still in AA that I talked to all the time. And then I managed to stop for 13 and a half years without going to meetings. And I say that now, right? But I've got no doubt at all now, that if I'd have gone to meetings through that period, I would have been a much better parent than I was actually in those times of being sober. But it is what it is, isn't it? And I did manage to stay sober because that was just so important to me. And so she's got no memories of me being drunk or doing the stuff that I do when I'm drunk or arguing with people or anything like that, or bringing strange men home or anything. She's got no memories of any of that because that stuff didn't happen when I was bringing her up. And so I'm really glad about that. And that was because of all the stuff, like I said, that I had in my head that I, from the AA meetings and the people that I'd met before. And so then, but then when she's left home and there I am on my own again. And they were so different that time at the last time I relapsed, right? Because I'm going to try not to go on for too long. Sorry. Because it wasn't like alcohol was my friend that time when I relapsed. That time when I relapsed just came from fucking nowhere. Literally came from nowhere. It's like, didn't even think about it. It's just, I was at a celebration and I thought, and that self said, oh, I'll just have a pint of shandy. That'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? And I had a pint of shandy. And like before I knew it, I was fucking off again. Do you know what I mean? For 8 years. And then it took me, most of you have heard me talk about this before. I'm sorry, it's probably really boring because you heard me talking about it every day for the last year. And there I was off again. Oh, the self-deception that was going on then, man. I tell you, if I don't know if I can't see everybody because there's two pages, anyone new here, like you start drinking and you've got a head full of AA, it's like talk about fucking your head up. And I just this I kept this set. And then it's like just literally a few months after I relapsed, I got diagnosed with cancer and I had bowel cancer and I had to have surgery and then I had 6 months of chemo and I just kept drinking. I mean, the fucking insanity of it, do you know what I mean? And my poor daughter, she was only 22, she was worried sick about me and I just kept drinking. And then the year after that, I was floored. I could literally hardly get out of bed for the whole year. I was just so like knocked off my feet. Still kept drinking, but not, to a great extent, really, because I was so unwell. And then 2019, I wasn't really very well. And it was, I was managing like, I was drinking a lot, but I was managing to hide it from and like that embarrassment of all these people I got to know over that time, And it's like when seeing me drinking, oh, I thought you didn't drink. I was like, I thought you were an alcoholic. And I'm like, oh no, I'm like, I'm all right now. It's like I was just like being dramatic. Do you know what I mean? It's fine. I thought I'd just, and all that embarrassment that you feel when you go to tell people this shit, when you know that you're lying through, when I knew I was lying through my teeth, do you know what I mean? And it's like, and when I was with them, like drinking Guinness, right? Because I can't stand the stuff. Sorry, Mark, it's fucking, ugh, it's disgusting. But because I wasn't going to get drunk, do you know what I mean? Because I was like, it's so thick and difficult to drink. And it's like, and then when I'm getting home, I've got like wine when I get in, that these people don't know about. And all that, all the lies and the deception. And that's not me. I'm not fucking like that. It's not my personality really to be like that. And but then of course then lockdown came, right? And oh my fucking God, lockdown, that was it. That was like got a license to drink. Do you know what I mean? It's like somebody literally give me a certificate. Oh, it's fine, Jan. can drink yourself silly all day long and no one cares. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I did. And it was like, and I kind of felt like the world was doing that. So it was all right. Do you know what I mean? And because even people I knew that didn't drink were drinking, you know, and oh, and but of course, lockdown finished and they all went back to normal. But like, I just didn't go back to normal. I just like kept it going and it just got worse and worse and worse. And but then, you know, shock horror, I got to the point again where it stopped fucking working. It's such a bastard, that alcohol, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Just stop fucking working again. And it's like, oh my God. And I was just drinking, right? And drinking on my own. You know, I was really, really depressed. I had a really bad period of depression, isolating, hardly went out the house for like the whole year, last year of my drinking, just drinking all day long, getting up to go to bed at night, and only then knowing that I was drunk, because I'd be staggering as I went upstairs, right? And it's not doing anything for me, not taking away any of those fucking feelings that I didn't want to feel. Just fucking feelings is like enemy. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to feel anything. And like soiling myself as I'm walking upstairs, can't get to the toilet on time, you know, and like just it was awful. And I just felt like repulsive and toxic, and I just wanted to die most of the time. And I was just really worrying, how do I die without fucking my daughter up? Or I didn't want to die, but I couldn't cope with being alive. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Do you know what I mean? And just drinking, and more, the worse I felt, more I was drinking, and it was just doing nothing. And like, and then I started thinking about the conversations I'd had with my mate Clarence, and I just knew this is where I had to come. This is where I had to come. And so I found the online meeting. Sorry, I'm going to try and shut. I'm talking too long. Like, I didn't find Tusnua till day 17. I know, because I've got it all written down, and of all the meetings that I went to. And the first week, I was going to like the God meetings in America, and bless them, they were really nice. You know, they were nice people and everything. But it was like not really like, I kind of felt like, oh, you know, I've got to like be on my best behavior and if I don't swear and all that. And like, and it like, I kept going because I just, you know, I just didn't want to drink, right? I just, you know, it's that weird thing in it where you want to drink, but you don't want to drink at the same time. And I just really didn't want to drink, and I wanted to get sober again. And so I went to those meetings for the first week, and then I found Kansas City on a Friday night, and then they told me about Just Newer. But I didn't find you guys till day 17 because my head was so fucked I couldn't work out all the stuff on the internet and everything. And yeah, and then I found you lot. Oh, fucking hell. I can't tell you how grateful I am for Just Newer in these meetings. Honestly, I just can't even put it into words. It's just, I really, really can't. And yeah, so I found you all, and like, it's weird because I know you hear some people talking about who they remember people sharing, who's there at their first meeting and everything. I just haven't got a clue. I can't remember who was you or anything. And but I didn't, you know, and I just did keep coming back. And I love this thing that I heard right in this other meeting. I was asking Ali for it this morning because, you know, I can't, like, my head hasn't come together yet. It's like I've still got really bad cognitive problems and everything, even though I'm so much better physically. And yeah, and oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh yeah, in this other meeting, Danger, where they say we decided to entrust our will and our lives to the care and the collective wisdom and resources of those that came before us and are traveling with us. And I just love that. And that's you lot. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you lot, like, you know, it's just the way we Welsh people talk. I don't mean like, oh, you lot. I fucking mean you lot. Do you know what I mean? You fucking amazing people are just always here every day, and like, just because if it, you know, if we all didn't come to a meeting, it wouldn't be a meeting, would it? And yeah, and then, and also like doing service, right, has been really important part of my recovery that's helped me as well, because I started hosting a meeting when I was 10 weeks. And it's like, well, Helena was hosting it. She was filling in because somebody else had finished doing it. I don't know. I can't remember who that was. And at the end of the meeting, you know, I can't do a New York way of talking, but she was like, need like fucking volunteers and like fucking people doing service kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And like telling it to everybody straight. And it's like, oh shit, I better like fucking volunteer to do something. Do you know what I mean? And so I said, no, I could volunteer. I thought I was volunteering to do something in the WhatsApp group or something. I didn't fucking realize I was volunteering to host a meeting. And but you know, I thought, oh, I'm gonna do this. And like, and I gotta say, like the first like few months I did it, it was fucking, I was just talking. It was fucking Meta that did everything in the background, all the like tech stuff, because my brain just couldn't connect everything. And but it's such a good way, you know, doing service, of feeling, because like for me, I never feel part of anything. I always think people don't like me and I'm not good enough and all that shit that goes on in my head constantly. Do you know what I mean? But it just makes you feel part of the meeting and like uninvolved, and you get to know people. And Mark and Tom are just so supportive, getting me through all that, and Helena. And I just can't, oh, thank you. I just feel like I'm fucking rambling now, so I think I better shut up now, really. I hope that I've said everything I wanted to say then, and I've made sorry for getting so emotional, and I've made some sense. And yeah, thanks everyone.